The work of this church in the world is realized through the generous financial support of all who call this place home. Along with the gifts and time and talent, ours is a shared ministry. You have a role to play here. Church membership is open to all. For more information, go to uusf.org.
I gotta say, I just love that. The world didn't give me this peace and it ain't gonna take it away from me. That is just, thank you so much. Well, there are many dangers in this world, and one of them is poetry. So before we go too much further, I know we should have read this at the beginning to give you full warning, but we're gonna do it now. So take this warning to heart. This poem is dangerous. It should not be left within the reach of children or even adults who might swallow it whole with possibly undesirable side effects. If you come across an unattended, unidentified poem in a public place, do not attempt to tackle it yourself. Send it, preferably in a sealed container, to the nearest center of learning, where it will be rendered harmless by experts. Even the simplest poem may destroy your immunity to human emotions. All poems must carry a government warning. Words can seriously affect your heart.
So I wonder if my Midwestern peoples thought poems were too dangerous. In fact, I think my grade school principal might even be watching this. Because they kept them out of reach, as I have little recollection of poetry in my childhood, except, of course, for the little ditties like roses are red and violets are blue and the thousands of endings that we have to go with that poem. It was when I was living in Nicaragua in the 1990s that I first woke up to the truth that poems can seriously affect your heart. And some definitely were at risk of government warnings that dictators especially sought to silence. Poets and poetry were a national treasure in Nicaragua. Rubén Darío, Daisy Zamora, Ernesto Cardenal, Gioconda Belli, and dozens of others. Beginning in preschool, children were taught poetry, and most every celebration included the reciting of poems, along with very prescribed kind of gestures that were supposed to accompany the words. I arrived in Nicaragua at the end of the Contra War in 1990, where most everyone had lost someone in the war, and more than 50% of the population were under the age of 15. We lived and worked in a new settlement on the outskirts of Managua. We spent our days and evenings visiting neighbors and listening to the stories of how each one came to be there. No one was untouched by the harsh realities of decades of war, and many a times the visits would turn into somebody taking out a guitar to share a song or pull out a worn piece of paper with poetic words that express the hope and faith that kept them alive in the darkness of the mountains. And they were still keeping them alive as they lived with the memories of those eternal days. It wasn't unusual to find ourselves sitting still in profound silence as the evening wore on, including the children who would just gaze at their parents lost in thought. And from Nicaragua, I came to the Tenderloin, another land where many truth-telling poets and artists reside, and where I met Reverend Kay Jorgensen. When Kay and I moved into the building on Hyde Street, that is now the home of Faithful Fools, Kay brought with her boxes of poetry, and over our morning coffee, she would pull one out and read a poem or two to start the day. I was introduced to so many poets, so many voices from the past, and something in me woke up to a language I didn't even know I understood. It was shortly after we moved into the Fool's Court that Ed Bowers, a brilliant poet, stopped by to ask if we would be interested in publishing a poetry anthology. Little did we know that Ed's visit would be a seed for 5 poetry anthologies, and then an anthology of the anthologies, as well as other books of other Tenderloin poets. In a commercial break, we have them for sale out in the lobby. Ed Bowers, Ramua Key, Marsha Campbell, J.R. Rush, Jesse Johnson, Ralph Drano, a wealth of voices whose words definitely could destroy your immunity to human emotions and seriously affect your heart. They are voices that, like the fool, speak truth to power, truth to human experiences, to history and current events, using words that evoke a joy and that relief in their honesty, and shine a light, and sometimes an LED floodlight, on that feeling that got clenched in my teeth while I slept, or possibly drowned in a glass or 2 or 3 of wine, or buried in that quart of ice cream that never bothered to get in the bowl before I ate it. I so often wish I was a poet, as the greatest gift of poetry is that it can go straight to the point with one word, one rhyme, or a phrase. And that's a relief for someone like me who can talk around and around and around before I get to the point, just ask Sam, and be as surprised and as relieved as anyone when I finally get there. And here we are today, April 2025, National Poetry Month, the month when us faithful fools celebrate and recalibrate our foolery, this year by the light of the full full moon. And the April theme here at UUSF is joy. They all go together. Our hearts and words need sharpening and emboldening for these times. For as Sam so brilliantly wrote in the blurb for this service, there is joy in the hard work of trudging towards justice. With a spring in your step, a poem in your heart, and companions by your side, the fraught world becomes a little lighter. How foolish it is to enter the fray wearing only armor plated with rhyme, padded with a quilt of verse, and carrying shields as light as any song. So come, let us gird ourselves with a little wry humor, a bit of dry wit, and let us join the poets in defending joy in these dark days.
Presentiment by Emily Dickinson. Presentiment, that long shadow on the lawn, indicative that suns go down. The notice to the startled grass that darkness is about to pass.
Sitting quietly, doing nothing, springtime is coming. The grass grows all by itself. Matsuo Basha.
And the days are not full enough, and the nights are not full enough, and life slips by like a field mouse not shaking the grass. Ezra Pound.
Celia, Celia by Adrian Mitchell. When I am sad and weary, when I think all hope has gone, when I walk along High Holborn, I think of you with nothing on.
The Dream Keeper by Langston Hughes. Bring me all of your dreams, you dreamer. Bring me all your heart melodies, that I may wrap them in a blue cloud cloth, away from two rough fingers of the world.
San Francisco by James Jesse Johnson. When we from the distant future look back on San Francisco, we shall discover a city of atoms sparkling with random kinetic connections. And we will remember that we are, after all, a city of lovers.
Antigonish, Nova Scotia by Hughes Mearns. Last evening, as I climbed the stair, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Oh, I wish that he'd go away.
La Mariposa by Octavio Paz. La mariposa volaba entre los autos. Marie José me dijo, ha de ser Chuang Tzu, de paso por Nueva York. Pero la mariposa no sabía que era una mariposa que soñaba ser Chuang Tzu o Chuang Tzu que soñaba ser una mariposa. La mariposa no dudaba. Volaba. The butterfly flew between the cars. Marie José said, it must be Chuang Tzu on a tour of New York. But the butterfly didn't know it was a butterfly, dreaming it was Chuang Tzu, or Chuang Tzu dreaming he was a butterfly. The butterfly never wondered. It flew.
Five Flights Up by Elizabeth Bishop. Still dark. The unknown bird sits on his usual branch. The little dog next door barks in his sleep, inquiringly. Just once. Perhaps in his sleep, too, the bird inquires once or twice, quavering. Questions, if that's what they are, answered directly, simply, by the day itself. Enormous morning, ponderous, meticulous, gray light streaking each bare branch, each single twig along one side, making another tree of glassy vines. The bird sits still there. Now he seems to yawn. The little black dog runs in his yard. His owner's voice arises, stern. You ought to be ashamed. What has he done? He bounds cheerfully up and down, rushes in circles in the fallen leaves. Obviously, he has no sense of shame. He and the bird know everything is answered, all taken care of. No need to ask again. Yesterday brought to to today so lightly, a yesterday that I find almost impossible to lift.
How fun! Today I would like to dedicate this to Sister Addie. She's a fool, and I know that she hasn't been feeling well. So, Sister Addie, if you're watching, this is for you. I am an artist. I can say that now with a little more confidence. An artist, like many other jobs or professions, they use special tools. A doctor may have a stethoscope, an architect, a ruler, a construction worker, a digger, and so on. An artist, we have paint. We have song, we have dance, and poetry. Poetry is like a painting. It's like painting pictures with words. And so I invite you to paint your own picture with this poetry that I read for you today. This poem is titled, "Please Don't," by David Hoglund. Please don't tell the flowers they think the sun loves them. The grass is under the same simple-minded impression about the rain and the fog and the dew. And when the wind blows, it feels so good, they lose control of themselves and they wob-toggle wildly around, bumping accidentally into their slender neighbors. Forgetful little lotus eaters, solar-powered hydroholics, drawing nourishment up through the stems into their green skin, high on the expensive chemistry of mitochondrial explosion, believing that the dirt loves them, the night, the stars, reaching down a little deeper with their pale albino roots, all dizzy galepsy with the utter significance of everything. You know, they don't imagine lawn mowers. The four stomachs of a cow, or human beings with boots who stop to marvel at their exquisite loveliness, the flexibility and the color. They persist in their soft-headed hallucination of happiness. But please don't mention it, not yet. Tell them what would you possibly gain from being right. So what did your picture look like? What color was your flower? How many cows showed up? Our son is 12 years old. He's a pretty typical tween. Sports, friends, video games, family. Hi, family. And when it comes to schoolwork, I would describe him as typically looking for how to get the assignment done with the fewest words possible. And I checked with him, this is accurate. Last year, his class was assigned a book to read called Love That Dog, a novel completely written in poems. That was his gateway into poetry. This year, his class is reading Brown Girl Dreaming by Jacqueline Woodson. It's a memoir. He was assigned a list of project options from which he could choose to reflect on what he learned from the book. So he chose to write his own mini novel, made up of 1 to 3 poems for each year of his life. I'm going to read one of them today about a holiday that our family made up called Spring Oween. Spring Oween. It takes place every year, either in March or April. We go to my cousins and they invite friends to join us in Spring Oween. We dress up in silly shirts and pants. We play music and dance. But my favorite part, we hide eggs in the neighborhood all around. And at the end of the day, we see which have been found. That's by William Darr.
Should I keep going? Okay.
All right, so I would like to end this story. It's a story for all ages. I'm a preschool teacher. I see no children here. No one under the age of 5, but that's okay. So I would like to end this story with another artist tool. It's a song, okay? So this is a Brazilian song, and it's about cause and effect, how our actions have consequences. The name of the song is Shambalele, okay? So there are a few actions here, and it's kind of like Simon Says meets rhyming poetry, all right? So I'm gonna be asking you to do a few things so you get all loosened up. If you wanna stand, and if you wanna stand and act as you are able, everything you can do from your seat, all right? So, here we go. You guys ready? Can I get an oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
All right, can I get an oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
All right, here we go. Shambalele is a show off. Threw a stone at a mango. Mango stayed up, stone fell down on his head. Shambalele is at home in bed. Oh, clap your hands and twirl, oh, manina. Clap your hands and twirl, oh, manina. Clap your hands and twirl, oh, manina. Put your hand on your head. Point to something that's red. Put your hand on your back. Point to something that's black. Put your hands in the air. Shake your hands while they're there. Put your hand in your lap. Let your fingers go snap. Shambalele is a show off. Built him some stilts to be a tall man. He took a tumble on his great big head. Shambalele is at home in bed. Oh, clap your hands and twirl, oh, manina. Clap your hands and twirl, oh, manina. Clap your hands and twirl, oh, manina. Put your hands in your lap. Now give me one big clap. Thank you very much.